Oh, hello there. I hope you're sitting on your throne in your castle right now, or what others refer to as the toilet in your house, as you listen to this podcast about the total home experience, where we discuss how to make every home more easy, effortless, and enjoyable to live in. I'm JP Taxman, founder of Relief Key, and will be the voice in your head for the next 10 minutes to an hour. Let's get after it, shall we?
Welcome to the total home experience.
What in the world is UX design? User experience design is what UX design stands for. What is it? A lot of people don't know. Whenever I say that to people who aren't in software, they look at me with a very glazed over face and like I'm speaking a foreign language. And it's funny because a lot of times I say it, I have to ask, like, do you understand what that is? And they go, nope. I'm like, okay, you could have said that, but it's okay. And it was developed mainly in software by this guy, Dom Norman, who I'll get into later. But he created what's called human-centered design, which is really designing software and products for people, not for marketing or just to make a thing, or like how engineers build products a lot, or especially software, they were mainly designing it. And then he came in and realized, like, oh, this isn't, engineers just think they want to build it in like the most efficient way possible, but that doesn't mean that it's the most intuitive or the smartest way for people to actually use it. And he brought in psychology to the field and design, and started designing using human behavior, which radically improved how much easier it was to use software on the internet and in general and in the OS. Like, that's the reason iPhones and really everything on the internet right now is so easy to use without having to use a manual. Like, that was the main thing. It's a lot of software. You kind of needed a manual to figure out how to actually use it. And the goal was to make something so simple and so intuitive that you could just grab it and pick it up and know what to do without having to understand what to do. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And that's why the internet is so great today. And computers are, and why I often get so frustrated with apps is because when they don't work right, I get frustrated. But the process to human-centered design, there is a process to it, and it's very iterative. And what it is you start with empathizing, which is learn about who's going to use the product, how they're going to use it, where their pitfalls currently are, where their frustrations are, and really understand and get in their shoes, right? From there, you go into define, which is you take that information and you kind of narrow it down, and you really start to even further understand what was going on. Maybe you go back to the people and ask them some more about some more defining questions to really further dive in that you learned through looking at the analysis. And after you kind of defined a little bit more and kind of narrowed in and understood really their problem really, really well, then you start to brainstorm and create solutions in the ideate phase. So now you're ideating, you're coming up with ideas. You're like, okay, what do we need to do? What features do we need? What are the core essential features? What are the secondary and third features that we can come to later on down the road potentially? And then after you kind of got that all out and on the board, you go in, you start prototyping. So you build a mock-up. You, in software design specifically, you just literally draw pictures of screens and then go to the next phase, which is test. And you go back to your, you know, audience, the people that you interviewed initially, and you say, okay, what would you do with this screen? Like, where do you think you'd press? What button do you think you'd press? Do you understand what this icon means? Is there anything here that's confusing? And then through doing that, you're catching some of those hang-up points before you go and build a whole software out and spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on engineers and everything to get it built. You have a lot of those issues worked out beforehand. And that's, you know, from just literally bare bones prototyping, putting pencil to paper and just going down that road. And there's some other really creative ways UX designers have kind of figured out how to do that, with like cutting paper and kind of moving a screen down through a kind of makeshift phone. It's pretty cool. But there's other, you know, then you kind of, once you've been through that, so after you prototype and tested, you go back and you empathize again, and then you further define what you further define from what you learned in the prototype and testing phase. And then you ideate again and say, okay, do we actually need the features we thought we needed, or did they actually care more about these features? And then we put those in, and then you can go and you can maybe make a higher fidelity prototype. So you can go into Adobe XD or Figma or Envision, and you can build kind of a more high fidelity wireframe or prototype. Wireframe is what we call, you don't really have any color, but it's just kind of a software mock-up of just the kind of design screens that you can kind of have people go. And some of these other ones are really cool, like Figma and Adobe XD actually let you create clickable apps that don't have any data connected to them, but you can move people through them in a way that they would actually use it. So you can really see where they're clicking, and it'll actually take them to a screen you designed. There's a lot of awesome software and tools out there to help UX designers these days. So that's kind of the general process to human-centered design and UX design. And it's really amazing. There's even within UX design, you have like the researchers, which are really the people that go and like do the empathizing and defining and kind of some of the ideating. And then you have like the more straight user experience designers, which are the ones like designing the software itself and really getting in there and taking that research that the UX researchers discovered and building the app out and designing the screens and really looking to understand how to move people through the app effectively. I became obsessed with user experience design after I went to an IXDA event randomly, like just looking to go do some networking, and went to this event and then learned about human-centered design. And I was like, this is life. This is how everything needs to be done. This is how products need to be built. This is just, it just made sense to me. And I was like, so lucky to find it. And I got to meet my friend, Tony Quiroz, who has been on this podcast and is works at GoDaddy as a customer success, one of the upper level customer success people at GoDaddy. And he designs that whole process. But after learning about that group and that way of thinking, I was hooked. And so I just kind of dove in and learned more and just kind of went down that road. And I eventually found the book, The Design of Everyday Things. And that book just completely blew my mind away and changed the way I see the world. And it's about the guy, Don Norman, who worked for Apple and really created this field. And he just really started to understand and care about building products for humans and the way humans use them so that they know how to use them. And he talks about one of the, you know, best examples that a lot of people know from the book is the example of the push-pull door. Now, on doors, there's typically a push and a pull sign. You know, if you're going to like a... not grocery store. I mean, grocery store doors are probably the best because the door just opens for you. Like, talk about the best user experience design. That's some shit from the future right there that we all just take for granted these days. But, you know, at random department stores or whatever, there's a push and a pull, and they have the bar and they have a handle, which is supposed to be a signifier to let you know what to do. But we still push typically because we're kind of going out. And so if it's a pull, we feel like an idiot because we're like, oh, it says pull, like I should have read it. But you really, and the true nature of the way you're operating, you shouldn't have read it because you're just thinking about moving through the door. You're not thinking about reading, then moving through a door, because that's not how you operate. That's not the natural inclination to do something when you interact with the door. And especially if it's a new door, you're not going to be inclined to really understand what to do with it. So it's not your fault, it's the designer's fault. It's the designer of the door's fault. So that's something you can take from this, is anytime you feel like an idiot using a product, it's not your fault, it's the designer's fault for getting it wrong and not doing enough testing and research on it. So the best way to make a door is just to have a double hinge so it opens and pulls both ways. You can do whatever you feel like doing, but most of the time people are going to push through it. But at least it works both ways, and there's no need for a sign, and no one ever feels like an idiot, because they shouldn't, and you shouldn't when you're using a product. It should just work the way that you kind of need it to work. So that book has changed my life. I reread it regularly. I'm rereading it right now. Always pick up something new. Like, again, last time I read it, I didn't realize the difference between affordances and signifiers. An affordance is a product giving you a notion that you can do something. But a signifier kind of tells you exactly what to do, right? So an affordance is like on a laptop. If you'd never seen a laptop before, which we all have now, but if you hadn't, there's a line, you know, going around the laptop that tells you that the laptop can be opened, right? It seems like, you know, there's a hinge on one side, so that kind of gives you a somewhat of a, I guess that's technically a signifier, but since there's a separation between the screen and the base, you can tell, like, okay, this thing can be opened. But a signifier is what Apple did with, like, the little, you know, notch in it in the front that lets you know this is where you can pull it open. This is where you lift up to open the laptop. And that's what the difference between a signifier and an affordance is, which is a big indicator and a big part of the book that I kind of missed last time I read it. So anyhow, with my obsession, I'm really trying to bring UX into the home, which, not that it necessarily isn't there, but really, like, bring that process and bring that thought to people. Like, UX also is mainly in the business world. It's mainly in consulting, because it is expensive and it is a lot, but I really want to bring that kind of experience, that way of thinking, to people's, the way they live in their home, and really helping them think through how to make better daily experiences, how to make more intuitive decisions in how and where they place things and how they access and get things, and just make their daily lives a lot easier. And, you know, we currently have, you know, interior designers, which make your place look pretty, and they do a little experience design, but it's not like their full focus. But I want to kind of be the UX design side of home design. So an interior designer is kind of what we call the UI designer in software design. And the UI designer is different from a UX designer. UI is user interaction. UX is user experience. User interaction is, What are people interacting with? Like, what buttons are they pressing? What colors are the buttons that they're pressing? What do those buttons say? A lot of that stuff is more the user interaction designer is doing, which they both do both a little bit, but just like in, you know, interior design and then home experience design, which is what I'm calling it, they both do both, but one is more kind of specified in their area. Like, an interior designer is really focused on the lighting, the feel, what specific furniture pieces are going in. And, like, mainly they're thinking those furniture pieces in the sense of, like, how it's going to look, not so much what furniture pieces are you picking because of how it's going to interact with the human in that space. And what I mean by that is, like, how is it going to enhance their daily life? Like, is this furniture piece really comfortable and do they love sitting in it? Or does it just, like, look really good? Which is, like, what a lot of, I think, interior designers focus on. It's like, this is just a cool looking piece. You're going to walk in here and you're going to love it. And it's going to look so great. But it's like, do you actually, like, enjoy sitting in that chair? Or do you enjoy sitting on that couch? Or is it just, like, so uncomfortable that you're never even going to be in that room because you don't even like sitting in the furniture? just kind of thinking through some things like that, but also areas in the kitchen of like, how are we setting up each space to make, you know, you're cleaning your dishes and creating these systems for making, doing dishes and doing, putting, you know, all the, everything away and getting the pantry all organized. And that's, you know, that's kind of the other side of, that's why I started with organizing, is because it's kind of the first parts of user experience design. It's creating that better experience in the home. And a lot of it is through organizing or creating better systems. But then the next step is really to create the custom products, like the foam inserts, where like each thing has its own specific place to go, or the custom fit slats that can are kind of a similar concept, but kind of can have more things in a drawer, or the custom shelf units. Some of these products I'm trying to build, or just like if you need something specific for your area, like maybe a custom fit to your hairdryer holster that's mounted specifically somewhere on a wall that's just right for you. Things like that, just to make your everyday experiences more fluid and efficient and better. Because I want homes to be centered around humans. I don't want humans to have to build their lives around the homes they live in. Because that's the issue with, I think, a lot of homes. As people have to fit into the home and the way the home operates, instead of the home fitting to around how they operate. I don't think that's how it should be. I believe we need to build things for the people and not force the people to fit into the things that are built. So that's the general overview of what user experience design is and why I love it and why I'm building my company around it. I would really appreciate if you subscribe to this podcast. If you like this episode, or if you like any other ones, maybe you hate this one, but you give one other one a try and maybe you like that one, then maybe you like some of the other content. I don't just do me talking like this. I do have interviews. Those are really all the beginning episodes of the interviews. I'll have more interviews coming. Right now, I'm just really getting in the habit of getting one out a day, and doing an interview a day is really difficult. I won't stick to it if I have to go and interview people, and getting that scheduled is just really challenging. Getting that scheduled is just really challenging. So I just have to kind of record my own every day for right now. But I'll get there'll be a wide variety of content on here, but it's all centered around the home. And aside from that, check out the website, www.reliefkey.co. I've also have other blogs on there. You can subscribe to the newsletter and get a free PDF that talks about your organizational horoscope. So you can see, you know, what your zodiac is, your zodiac sign organized or not, and what to do about it. Go check that out. And other than that, thank you for listening. Especially making it to the end. That means a lot. And I will catch you tomorrow.